Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and I'm here with Avnish Bajaj, Founder Managing Director, Matrix Partners India. Today's episode is about a topic that we're extremely passionate about and one that we base our investment philosophy on, building a founding team. So Avnish, what is the ideal founding team size? And as a VC, is there a magic number that you look for in a founding team?
2.09
for all those listening.
It's good to be back, and this topic comes up a lot. I have co-founded two companies, Bazi as well as Matrix India. So it's a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and it's often comes up with the from the founders. So good to be back to talk about something that's hopefully helpful. Well, the answer is 2.09, and the reason it is, and you have shared some very good articles with me on founding team. So let's make sure we include all those links because I think there's a lot of good information in there. And I think the reason it came out as 2.09 is somebody has done an analysis of all the companies that have been successful. And what is the average number of founders or median number of founders? So obviously what that tells you is the right answer is somewhere between 2 and 3. I think that's the part that should be helpful to the listeners, that that's where the right answer is. Somewhere 2 to 3 is better than 1 and is better than 4. Okay. Now the question is as to why, and we'll get into it in some of the rest of the questions as well. But the way I think about it is, first, somebody gave a very good analogy, which is a company is like a baby. And a single parent can raise a baby, but two parents is good, three is a bit too much, right? I think it's a great analogy, actually, except three is also okay in this case, and maybe four is a bit too much, right?
Right.
So I do believe that that's one way of thinking about it. Second way of thinking about it, having been a founder, and we'll come to complementarities of skill set and stuff, but also recognize that it is a very, very difficult undertaking, building a company. And all the people of hopefully a bunch of the listeners are already entrepreneurs, so they have undertaken that journey. And it tends to be very lonely at the top. So just the companionship to me, and we'll come to all the nice sounding functional reasons to do it, but just the companionship of it, just like in a marriage, I think is important.
And what would like the top traits be in this companion or partner in terms of like, are there any archetypes or profiles a founder should go looking for in a co-founder?
So this is where there is no right answer. And this is where I would strongly encourage the listeners to refer to some of the articles that you have shared. There is one particular one that I liked, which has a pyramid, and it says visionary, hustler, hacker as the three extremes of the pyramid. I think obviously what that means is one founder is a visionary, one founder is a hustler. Visionary is setting the big picture, hustler is getting things done. Hacker is building the systems, right? Probably an ideal view of the world, but probably doesn't exist, right? The point being made there, which I strongly believe in, is complementarity of skill sets. That people have very, very different skill sets that they bring. All of us bring different skill sets to the table. So what I tell founders is think about complementarities, not similarities.
Okay.
And this is where the problem starts, because we tend to be closer to people who are similar rather than dissimilar. So my first venture with Suvir, we were more similar than dissimilar. And we'll come to it a little bit in the next one. It worked out great, but it was after the fact that we discovered we had complementarities in skill sets. So he was more creative, he managed marketing more, I think maybe business development more. I did a little bit more on the operation side, product side, tech side, finance side, so on and so forth. But point being that if I had to do it all over again, not in Bazi, but in general, if I had to start a company, I would probably start with a tech co-founder. I think that is important. I'm going to make a controversial statement. I would never have equal co-founders. I think it is very important to have a first amongst equals. I have seen teams that have been the most well-gelled. And it's not as much about ownership. Ownership can be equal, but there has to be a person who's first amongst equals. And most of the teams that we have backed where we encourage them to say, who is going to be that one person? That is, if things come to a head, whose decision will matter, right? Who will take the final call? Now, it's not to say that it doesn't work the other way. All I'm saying is, if I had the perfect world. Now, I have seen co-CEOs work really well, and that's not an issue. So again, I think the point has to be taken to say, if you are starting with a blank slate,
right,
then what would one do? And so in a blank slate, probably a tech co-founder, probably unequal ownership also if you are, you know, the business person, but equal ownership is fine. Decision making, who's going to take the final call, I do think is important. Because businesses go through, and I've seen this in the past, where businesses go through ups and downs, and if there's a strong different point of view between the co-founders and it's equal decision making, the organization can get frozen. My final point on complementarities of skill set is, you know, a framework we use internally, which is FPBM, founder, product, business, market. We say, look for the FPBM, founder, product, business, market fit. In our business, we say product market fit a lot. Mm-hmm. People often don't think of founder fit with those businesses. So another example of that is what we call thin stack businesses versus full stack businesses. So if it is a pure tech business, it's a thin stack business. If it's a highly executional heavy business, it's a full stack business. The reason I'm throwing these things out is that there is no right answer. These are frameworks to think through and apply to try to get to a right answer. There will never be a perfect answer. So if I'm starting a company that is highly tech focused, I need a rocket science, computer science, IIT type co-founder.
Right, yeah.
If I'm starting a business that is in financial services, I need a rocket science, risk trained, you know, level of co-founder. So the founder product market fit, what type of business are you doing? Where are your skill sets? Another one of the articles you have shared talks about, you know, different types of founder archetypes. I think it has 8 or 10. You know, the promoter, the leader, the, you know, one person may have some of those.
Right.
You should look for people who have the others. So I think the biggest takeaway is go for complementarities, not similarities.
Okay. And what if you're a founder or an entrepreneur in a situation where you have your business idea, the right team, the capital in place, and all other resources are sort of with you except for your co-founder? How do you then sort of go on a co-founder hunt and find the right partner to move on with?
Well, it's a little bit of chicken and egg. I know what you're asking, and I'll come to that. I don't think you would have a lot of the capital and resources lined up without the correct co-founder, but maybe you do. But I think the larger point behind your question is, how do you pick the right co-founder?
Right, exactly. Out, right?
Yeah. And given that we have said it's lonely at the top, don't do something alone, we do think people should spend time thinking about co-founders. So I will tell you that I have seen kind of three ways it has happened in the past. One is kind of top-down, which is what you said. You have an idea. You may not have an idea, or you have an idea, but you have an idea that you want to be an entrepreneur. That's the one idea you have for sure. And now, if you go back to the previous question, in my view, if that is the approach you're taking, before you start a co-founder search, I would argue you should have an idea of the business also that you want to pursue.
Sure.
Because you want to match the co-founder profile with that.
Skill sets, yeah.
Let's say you're not there. Let's say you're just doing a co-founder search. So there are three approaches. One is top-down. Ask in your network, go meet people, think about the profile you're looking for, go meet people in that industry, so on and so forth. Second is bottoms-up. People you know, right? People who are around you. Think about that. Where is there a fit? Third is serendipity, right? You just run into people. My view, I have never seen top-down. I have seen people try to do top-down. I think the failure rate is a bit higher in top-down than in bottoms-up or serendipity. Bottoms-up, you know, in my case, both my co-founders would be a combination of bottoms-up and serendipity. And either bottoms up because we knew them, used to hang out, or ran into them and then built a relationship. So I would say, if you are going top down, actually this applies even in bottoms up and serendipity, maybe more in serendipity and top down, because bottoms up you really know the person. But I do believe that there is a scientific process one should follow in all three cases. the less you know a person, the more scientifically you should follow this process, and which is to just try to compress the future into the present. And if you are going to be spending the next 10 years of your life with this person, you should try to compress that next 10 years into a very, very intense quote-unquote courtship period or getting to know each other period, which can go over months, definitely not weeks, months, and literally hundreds of hours. And I didn't have to do that with Suvir because we had spent hundreds of hours. Rishi and I did that when we started this. And we went through scenarios. And, you know, the reality is, if it is like courtship, then you're also both always, or all three of you, are putting your best foot forward. So you have to spend time in different settings, different situations, go through scenarios. It is all well and good to lay out principles. But then you say, what if this happens? What if this happens? How would you react? How would you react? And that's when and it's not because somebody is trying to be disingenuous. It's just because you haven't thought it through. And then when you start going deep through scenarios, I think you start learning a lot about each other. And for me, actually, that worked really well. Spend time getting to know each other's families, spouses and children. It tells you a lot how a person interacts with different parts of their kind of ecosystem. Finally, and I know you have a podcast with Tarun on extreme referencing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if ever there was extreme referencing, this is where you do extreme referencing. And the both have to be comfortable enough, or again, like I said, it could be three, to say that we are going to be doing this. And we are going to be asking friends, we are going to be asking this, we are going to be asking people you went to school with. I mean, this is as important a relationship as you're going to get to, probably second only to your direct family relationships, yeah. Marriage or, you know, whatever. But again, remember, this is, marriage is also by choice. This is by choice. A lot of your other family relationships are not, right? So I think you have to be extremely diligent about this process. And then at the end of it, you have to take a gut call. And in my view, ultimately, we can talk a lot about the science and the physics and the math and does this work. Ultimately, it has come down to chemistry. And do you feel the chemistry? Can you imagine the worst moments of your life? And apart from your family, your wife, would you want this person around you? And you are going to go through those. Well, hopefully the lucky ones won't, most will. And recognizing that it's lonely at the top, is this the person you want to be lonely with? And I know it sounds a little bit corny, but that's what it is. That's what a co-founder relationship is.
Sure. Thanks, Avnish. Thank you for listening. And you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.